Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And how big is a bike lane? That can be measured in miles long or feet across, but how about column inches? The Prospect Park West bike lane and the lawsuit to get rid of it have gotten a lot of attention from advocates, detractors, politicians, reporters, and us. New York Magazine's cover story this week sees that one lane as a microcosm for the city's overall struggle with deciding who gets to rule the roads. And the Guardian website ran an essay entitled, "How One New York Bike Lane Could Affect the Future of Cycling Worldwide." That's what they're saying in the UK. With stakes getting higher, Deputy Mayor Howard Wolfson entered the fray with a memo in support of the 255 miles of bike lanes the city has installed in the last 4 years, as first reported in the WNYC blog Transportation Nation. Yesterday, we heard from the attorney for the bike lane opponents regarding Prospect Park West. Today, I'm joined by the Deputy Mayor. Howard Wolfson, thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be with you.
Think Mayor Bloomberg ever imagined this would be the most controversial thing in his 3 terms?
No. I'm not sure that is true. I think that you might think that, or your listeners might think that if you read the press accounts, which I agree there have been an awful lot of lately. But the truth is bike lanes are popular in this city. Polls have shown that. Community boards want them. They request them. They've been voted on some 40 times in different community boards around the city. They go through a democratic process. And so you do have some people who don't like them. In this city, it is impossible to make change without some people objecting. And that's fine. That's a democratic process. But the reality is that the vast bulk of the people in this city, by some 15 points in the last Quinnipiac poll, support bike lanes.
I think that's the 54% number from a recent poll. And yesterday on the show, we had Jim Walden, the pro bono attorney for the opponent groups of the bike lane along Prospect Park West, and I cited that number to him, and this was his response.
If 54% support, that means a very, very significant minority do not. And I think you can feel the pulse around the city, and people are largely extraordinarily upset that the administration has been so fast and loose with the data, promised robust study and failed to deliver and haven't been honest. And I think that I hope you ask him directly, should DOT be held accountable for the tactics that they used in this particular instance?
And that ask him directly was referring to you because I said, well, Deputy Mayor Wolfson's coming on tomorrow. What would you have us ask him? So do you want to reply to Jim Walden?
Yeah, let me take a couple of those points. First of all, if you had a political candidate who won by 15 points in an election, you'd call it a landslide. And so 15 points is a significant margin, especially given some of the adverse press that bike lanes have gotten. And you do have a minority of people who don't like bike lanes, and they're certainly entitled to that. In this instance, they've hired an outstanding attorney with a very, very prestigious law firm to engage in a legal process, and that's fine, too, that people are entitled to do that. We have thousands of lawsuits filed against the city every year. If we let lawsuits or the threat of lawsuits deter us from heeding the will of the people, the vast majority of the people, and making positive change, we'd never get anything done in the city. And that's fine. In this instance, the DOT did nothing wrong, and I am quite confident of the outcome of the legal process that the minority of people who oppose this bike lane have chosen to engage in.
The New York Times ran a story about Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan that started with an anecdote about Congressman Anthony Weiner saying the first thing he would do if he's ever elected mayor is tear out the bike lanes. And I'm quoting now, Mr. Bloomberg adopted an exasperated welcome to my world expression, according to the Times. His answer was, tell me about it, said a person who was there, one of the two who recounted the tale. The mayor, some guests said, made it clear that Ms. Sadiq Khan was off on her own. Now, Weiner has since said that he was joking, but what about the mayor? Is your memo an attempt to back up the transportation commissioner?
The memo is an attempt to get the facts out, and I think it's incumbent upon me and everyone else in this administration to make sure that people have the facts. I don't think that most people, if they're reading the press accounts, would know not that these bike lanes are imposed by Fiat, but that they're requested by community boards. They wouldn't know that the vast majority of New Yorkers support them. They wouldn't know that there have been 40 different votes in community boards around the city in support of bike lanes. They wouldn't know that we've added 255 miles of bike lanes in the last 4 years, and you compare that against 6,000 miles of streets. You would think, reading these accounts, that there are bike lanes going up in every street in the city in the middle of the night under the cover of darkness, and those things aren't true. So it's incumbent upon us to get the facts out. I think people deserve to have the facts on both sides of a debate. The mayor is four square behind the commissioner. He believes this is the right thing. And it's really, at the end of the day, if you take aside all the kind of overwrought rhetoric, it's about providing choices to New Yorkers. People are going to choose to drive their cars. They're going to choose to get in the backs of cabs. They're going to choose to go on subways. They're going to choose to go by bus. They're going to choose to walk. And we want to make sure that when they choose to go by bicycle, they are able to do it in a safe manner. And bike lanes make the entire community of people who use our streets safer.
About choices, one of the complaints that we got yesterday was, if the mayor is going to try to increase the choices for transportation, not just cars, then why, and maybe this is more properly directed at the MTA, but why, just as that Prospect Park West was made narrower for cars and the bike lanes were put in, was the B69 bus also removed?
Well, you know, as you know, and as most of your listeners know, the mayor doesn't run the MTA. Sometimes I wish that we did, but we don't. So that's really a question for them. We have major problems with mass transit in this city. As you recall, the mayor had an idea a few years back how to address that. Albany didn't like that idea and didn't really come up with a better one. So we have problems with our mass transit. But bike lanes are not a contributing factor to that. Bike lanes actually will help us provide transportation alternatives for people.
We're talking about the controversy over bike lanes in New York City, and we're going to get to a couple of other things briefly, too, before we go, with New York City Deputy Mayor Howard Wolfson. Mike in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good morning. It's great that the DOT is promoting bicycling, but the NYPD seems to be doing whatever it can to reduce it. They're suddenly giving out tons of tickets this year. They set up a speed trap in Central Park the other day. They ticketed bicyclists for violating a speed limit that isn't even the right speed limit. As many tickets to bikes as in one day as they give out to cars in a month. It feels like harassment, and it's not in proportion to the real safety risks. So the question is this coming from City Hall or from One Police Plaza, and can the city unify its strategy a little bit?
Yeah, Deputy Mayor, in case people don't know about this, I guess there was a police crackdown on bikes going over 15 miles an hour in Central Park one morning, and it turned out that was a mistake because the real speed limit is 25 miles an hour. And most people never heard of bicycles getting speeding tickets before anyway, but all but one of the tickets had to be retracted. Apparently there was one racer going 28 miles an hour, and his ticket stood. But the bicyclists feel harassed. So what's your response?
Well, certainly with regard to the incident in Central Park, that was a mistake, and the tickets were ripped up or retracted, whatever the official term would be, and those people were apologized to. But with regard to the larger issue, everyone who uses our streets needs to obey the traffic safety laws, and I agree that as a pedestrian in the city, you are much more likely to be struck by a car than by a bicycle and killed. You have almost 2,000 pedestrians killed by cars. You have less than a dozen killed by bicycles in the last 10 years. Obviously, every one of those is a tragedy, but if you're crossing the street, you're much more at risk getting hit by a car. But at the same time, cyclists, bicycle riders need to obey the law, and if they're not, they will be ticketed by the police, just like if you're driving a car and you don't obey the law, you'll be ticketed by the police in that instance.
So is it a coordinated strategy from City Hall to have the transportation department build many more miles of bike lanes, but also have the NYPD enforce traffic rules as they pertain to bicyclists more stringently as the bikes proliferate?
I think it's fair to say that we have a strategy of providing greater transportation choices for New Yorkers that certainly include bike lanes, and we have a strategy of ensuring that our laws are obeyed on the roads.
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Brian. Just wondering, I'm not sure if I have any opinion on this, but it's a question. Weinshall used to be commissioner before Sadiq Khan, and she was relatively low profile in the job. And I believe she and Chuck Schumer, her husband, live along this thoroughfare. I'm just wondering if you think those roles play any substantial part in the intensity of this controversy, or if it's just a coincidence.
Well, I should let your listeners know that I'm hardly an unbiased source on this. I had the privilege of working for Chuck Schumer when he ran against Al D'Amato in 1998 for Senate, and was very glad to do so. And I got to know Iris Weinshall then, and she's been very good to me in my career. I think she's was a great transportation commissioner. I don't ascribe malevolent motives to people in this debate. I am absolutely willing to believe and concede that the minority of people who oppose bike lanes are doing it for sincere reasons, for different reasons. But I believe that at the end of the day, they're wrong, and they're entitled to be wrong. But I don't ascribe any ill motives to them, and I don't think anyone else should either. This is a diverse city, and one of the things we're promoting here is the diversity of choice. I would argue that if we want people, New Yorkers, to have more transportation choices. If you don't want to use bike lanes, you don't have to. That's fine. But I don't want to ascribe bad motives to anyone.
And let me make sure to get one of those opponents on with you, because we're getting mostly pro-bike calls. But Ed in Soho is on the other side. So, Ed, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brian, thank you. First of all, this program was introduced, like all these programs, by fiat from the top down. As far as this business of the community boards, they are a self-serving group of people. They're all appointed by different politicians, different entities from the top down. I'd love to see the mayor say, why don't we do something, even if it has to be unofficial? Why don't we have a genuine referendum on this in terms of the introduction of the bike lanes in different communities? My example is the one I know on Grand Street. I'm on Grand Street all the time from the beginning of this to today, and I can tell you, Brian, that the overwhelming majority of bikers on the Grand Street bike lane are going still in the exact opposite direction they're supposed to. And if you choose, and I can tell you, Brian, this is all anecdotes, but you can talk to a lot of people and they will confirm this. You, because this was given them, this to them, without any work or any real genuine effort, at least in the public venue, you cannot tell them anything in terms of behavioral issues.
So let me get a response, Deputy Mayor.
The facts are that the vast majority of these bike lanes are requested by community boards, that there have been 40 different votes in community boards across the city in support of bike lanes. We don't tend to have a citywide referendum in this city on issues like bike lanes or anything else for that matter. And so the level of government that is very close to people is the community boards. Are supportive of bike lanes, and there may be instances where they're not, and that's totally fine. But of course, this is a diverse city, and people are going to have diverse views, and that's okay. But the majority of people, again, support this, and the majority of community boards support it.
Deputy Mayor, the overwhelming argument, or the central argument, I should say, that they were making yesterday, against the way the bike lane on Prospect Park West has been formulated, is that it's a two-way bike lane on a one-way street, so that senior citizens and others, after they're looking one way and they've crossed part of the street, suddenly they've got to look both ways, and people just aren't used to doing that. And why not have a bike lane go one way, same way in traffic as traffic, and then down another street in the other opposite direction? And the attorney said if they had that, chances are they would support the bike lane.
Well, I guess I would say two things. One, because of the active pending litigation, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to get into the particulars of that decision, except to say that we're confident of victory in the outcome of the case. And the second is, as a matter of general principle, I would recommend to all New Yorkers that they look both ways when they cross the street.
All right, let me touch a couple of other things real quick before you go. We don't have much time, but I'd like to touch very briefly on Just a couple of things. You recently announced that Mayor Bloomberg is spending in the high six figures to run an ad against Governor Cuomo's education budget and in favor of getting rid of last in, first out for teachers. Does the mayor have a big enough bully pulpit without having to run ads?
Oh, well, he does have a big bully pulpit. There's no question about that, and I wouldn't argue otherwise. But the UFT and the AFL-CIO has now spent about $3 million worth of ads in the course of the last month attacking the mayor and defending the last-in, first-out principle. And we thought it was time to have another point of view represented on television. Not everyone listens to WNYC. We wish they would. Some people watch TV, too. And for the last month, they've been treated to about $3 million worth of ads from the UFT about this topic. Totally their right to do that, and it's the mayor's right to respond.
Now, two ACS workers have been indicted, that is Administration for Children's Services, as you know, indicted on charges of criminally negligent homicide in the death of a Brooklyn child at the hands of her mother. Is that an indictment of the whole department and the way it's run?
You know, the people who work in this department and the commissioner are very dedicated. You don't go into this line of work to get rich. You go into it because you care about kids. And so, no, I don't take it that way. And I don't think any New Yorker should either.
And on a lighter note to finish up, I see that Julianne Moore will be playing Sarah Palin in the movie version of Game Change, the book about the Obama presidential campaign. You figure in that book about the 2008 election when you were Hillary Clinton's communications director. Do you know who'll be playing you?
I'm not sure that I'm going to have a big enough part in that history to merit somebody playing me. But if somebody does, my vote would be for Paul Giamatti.
Okay. Howard Wilson finally made it to the point in life where he can at least fantasize about who might play him in the movie version of his life. Deputy Mayor Howard Wilson, thank you very much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we continue our series on the rollout of the 2010 census numbers taking place this month with the New York Times' Sam Roberts. Today, we'll look at what we've learned about poverty in America from the new census numbers. Stay with us. Also, don't forget, you can read about Howard Wolfson's memo and much more on the bicycle issue on our Transportation Nation blog. That's WNYC's Transportation Nation project, run by Andrea Bernstein. Read all about the bicycle controversies and everything Transportation New York and Transportation America at our WNYC blog, Transportation Nation.